Welcome back, shooters. It is August 1st, roughly 3 o'clock in the afternoon or so. Welcome back to another edition of Armed Nevada Radio. Ben, how the hell are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing good. My daughter's in town.
That's fun.
She is. It's nice to have her. Of course, it's, you know, she lives in Illinois, so it's whenever she comes to visit, it's never long enough.
Right.
She is single, and I will tell you this, for anybody that's listening, because I know she's got friends in Illinois that listen to the show. She's a very successful paralegal in Southern Illinois, St. Louis area. Beautiful young lady. I'm very proud of her. She's a tremendous young woman. But she is single, and I have to tell you that she, regardless that she's 29 years old, she's still my daughter. And I'm sure that you appreciate this now, and
yeah,
when your daughters are older, you'll appreciate it even more. So I only ask one thing. Listen, if you want to date my daughter, just ask me. Just do the honorable thing. I want to meet you first. At the very least, I want to meet you. Yeah, I know she's 29. Maybe I'm going overboard a little bit. But you know what? She's my daughter.
Meet these guys, do you have a shotgun on the table?
No. I just want to meet them, have a little talk with them. I will tell you, however, that during the contractual period that now governs the dating relationship that they've entered into with my daughter, if at any time they hurt her, whether emotionally or, God forbid, physically, there is an exit interview. Now, the exit interview is conducted by, I will just call him an associate of mine.
Uh-huh.
And it consists of of course, firearms, a large truck battery, battery cables, nipple clamps, and a bucket of ice water.
Has he worked for the CIA in the past?
I can neither confirm nor deny that he may or may not have worked for an intelligence agency that may or may not be known as the CIA. Let's leave it at that.
All right.
So, exit interview. Pass the exit interview, you're golden.
But hey, more fun than that. I'm picking up my new rifle this weekend.
Oh my God, that's awesome! Daniel Defense.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Yeah.
Good for you. It's about time.
I know.
Welcome to the big leagues.
Well, and now I've got it's gonna need some accessories. So starts the. I got my shopping list ready to go, and bad enough I just spent a whole lot of money on a new rifle. Now I've got to accessorize it.
That's what you do.
I know.
When you buy a Barbie, you buy accessories.
That's right.
It's the same with rifles. Rifles, AR-15s are the Barbies for men. I'm not ashamed to say that. No. They are the Barbies for men.
I'm pretty excited.
There's no shame in that at all. Well, that's awesome. What are we going to talk about today? We got some great videos we're going to cover today. And for everybody listening, you and I are going to disagree for probably the first time in our show history.
I think we will. A little bit of backstory. We're going to talk about open carry, and we're going to discuss a little bit of ABC ran a segment last week where they talked about child safety and guns. And
this is their show, What Would You Do?
What Would You Do? Yeah, and
great,
you know,
show.
I'm a little caught off guard by the mainstream media lately because, you know, NBC ran... Was this 2 weeks ago? They ran on that show, My Kid Would Never Do That. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
I didn't, no.
Well, so what they do is they go off in a trailer and they are secretly recording their kids doing stuff. And so what they did is they ran their kids through this really lame firearms education course. And then they stuck a deactivated gun on the table. And, of course, all the kids picked it up.
That's an old video. I have seen that.
Well, and then they ran them through this new and improved, and I say new and improved in air quotes, firearms education that some brainiac dreamt up. The only problem is that new firearms education is basically Eddie Eagle from the NRA.
Right.
And so they're saying that Eddie Eagle, that course that the NRA offers for youth, it works, and it works really well, but they never credited the NRA with that.
No, the show that you're specifically speaking about, again, what was the name of it?
My Child Would Never Do That.
My Child Would Never Do That. I've seen that show, and the same people that produced that show, I don't know if you saw this one, are the same ones that did the show regarding concealed carry and whether it really would work in, say, an Aurora Theater environment. They had the college classroom set up, and they had an actor as a police officer that played the bad guy. He was all dressed up in the red man suit with the mask and everything, so he wouldn't get hit by paintballs or whatever they were firing. Simunitions is what it was.
Right.
And they had the college students. They set them up for failure.
Well, they did because –
remember that? What were they wearing?
No.
They had them in oversized, long, white T-shirts.
That's right. So they could see where the simunition hit.
Right. Omar the Tent Maker T-shirts that you can't get up in a concealed –
And then the problem was is so – you know, you're putting people that are relative novices with firearms. They haven't had a lot of formal training. And as you always say in your classes, action is always going to beat reaction.
Right.
And so these people with no tactics, no ability to buy themselves time, well, they set them up for failure, and then they claim that this is the way all concealed carry incidences are going to go down.
And that's not – you can't call every incident the same.
Well,
it's just not going to be – they're all different.
That one was negative, but it's funny.
Well,
so,
negative is biased. Wholly biased.
The NBC one with the kids was overly positive with the Eddie Eagle program working.
Right.
And then the Today Show, I don't know if you saw that segment. They had Colleen Noir, you know, from the NRA.
Uh-huh.
He was kind of did
the NRA?
Yeah.
He's just an independent guy.
Well, he does independent, and then he does the NRA News, and then he does something
no
with
–
what's the other one? Danny Loesch?
Dana Loesch.
Yeah. So – they did a whole thing on, they called it Gun Culture 2.0, where it was a very positive, or I thought it was overly positive, portrayal of young people getting involved in firearms and shooting sports. And so here we've had the Today Show have a fairly positive overview of gun culture. We've had the NBC also do a fairly positive kind of overview of child firearms education. And then this week we have this ABC segment that I thought was pretty positive. So,
well, for every positive show that you mentioned, though, there's at least 3 to 5 that are completely biased. I mentioned the one about the concealed carry in the classroom. They showed that one. There was one they did about the evil black AR-15. They did a whole segment on that where, I mean, you could tell listening to the journalist that was being followed around by the camera crew. I forget who he was. Some young hippie I don't know what else to call him. He had an agenda going into this thing, and he did everything he could to paint that rifle as just the most
evil
thing since Satan walked the earth.
You know what I meant to ask you? Speaking of the theater shootings, did you see that Bobby Jindal, the governor of Louisiana, he talked about what saved lives at the Lafayette Theater a couple weeks ago, and he was saying that those personal first aid kits or blowout kits.
Oh, the IFACs.
Yeah.
Individual
he was talking about
kits.
How many lives that probably saved, since all of the officers that were responding had the tourniquets and then those blowout kits.
Right.
There's a
good point.
I've noticed there's been an increased discussion on some of the concealed carry forums about whether those of us that carry firearms should also be carrying some sort of a basic SWAT style.
You should. I absolutely agree with that. And they're affordable. I mean, by affordable, I'm talking about, I mean, for a good one. And if you're going to spend money on an individual first aid kit, don't go down to CVS Pharmacy and pack a plastic bag full of Band-Aids and cloth bandages. That's not a blowout kit. Spend the money on one that's been professionally put together that contains a tourniquet, a chest seal for sucking chest wounds, compression bandage, quick clot, an Israeli bandage, a pair of shears. Spend the money, and they're about $150.
Well,
but what's your life worth?
So here's the problem. Check this out. I'm not going to take everything out that I'm carrying today.
Ben's taking out his magazine, his spare magazine, his knife, his flashlight, which if he turns his head, he's not walking away with. Because I like I'm lusting over your little mini flashlight there.
All right, so check this out. You know, so that's my EDC right there, right?
Right. Everyday carry.
I've got a duty size handgun, an extra magazine, my knife, my flashlight, and my phone. I'm already carrying a ton of stuff.
I feel completely inadequate at the moment.
Gear check. Well, so. You know, where in the world?
Sean's reaching free. Sean just laid a knife on the table.
Well, so.
It's all right. Stabity. Take someone to the stabbing cabin. You can do that. Oh, and chapstick.
And chapstick.
There you go.
Well, here
and
in Nevada,
chapstick.
That's a necessity. But, you know, and then some days I carry my H&K with the weapon light on it.
Right.
So, I mean, this is a fairly heavy loadout, right?
It's all right.
For an everyday?
No, I'd say it's reasonable.
Well, now I'm going to add a personal first aid kit to this.
Have it handy. Well, here's the thing, though. In the summertime, wearing shorts and a t-shirt, where are you going to put a first aid kit unless you get like a man purse?
I'm probably going to end up putting in one of my cargo shorts.
You know, at the very least, get a tourniquet.
Yeah.
Get a CAT tourniquet, you know, CAT, combat action tourniquet is what it stands for. Get a CAT tourniquet. At the very least, just carry a tourniquet with you and you should be all right. You know, you can throw a tourniquet and a compression bandage into a cargo pocket on your shorts or your pants or in your pocket or something, and at least something's better than nothing.
Yeah. You know what? You should break out your phone. We should do a show your EDC on our Facebook page. Take a picture of that, and let's have our viewers go to Facebook.
We're going on my phone right now. We're going to take Oh, let me turn it around because I've got it on my narcissist camera facing me. Here we go. Ready? Everyday carry picture in 3, 2, 1, go.
All right. That's Ben's it. Gear check today.
All right. Well, listen, we've got some great stuff lined up for the show today. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after this break. KNews 107.3, Armed Nevada Radio. All right, here we go. First up on the agenda today.
No,
I got to tell you,
no.
Hell has frozen over.
We can't do it. You can't say it.
I'm going to say it for the first time. Oh my God! For the first time, I agree with Mom's demand action.
And that, you know what? I'm done. I'm done. I'm leaving the show.
That tasted like poo.
Maybe say that. Maybe Sean can take over for me for the rest of the day.
That was a poo taste.
Not happening because I agree with him.
So for the record, you agree with Bloomberg's Shell
group, one thing.
Mom's demand action.
Let me tell you why. Sean, let's go to the, we're going to go to the video here real quick. I just want to play a few segments of this, few seconds of this. Let me set this up for you. This is a group of AR-15 open carriers in Abilene, Texas. Confrontational carry. They are open carrying AR-15s in Abilene. It looks like they're outside a crowded. From the video, it looks like they're outside a shopping mall.
So the AR-15s, are they slung across the front?
Looking at the video, no. It looks like across the back.
Across the back. All right. I already disagree with you.
This is where we're going to disagree. However. All right. Listen to this video. I want you to hear the reaction of these guys to the police and tell me if this is a reasonable reaction.
So I haven't heard this yet, so this will be new for me.
Whoa, what are y'all doing? What are you doing, man? What the hell? We're not breaking any laws. Calm down, both of you. Calm down.
This is the guy yelling at the police.
Okay.
Hey! Can you tell your man to stop getting at the ready and threatening me?
No, what I can tell him to do is stomp.
Tell your man to stand down. He's over there with an AR-15 in his hands. He's telling me to drop my guns right now.
Oh, my God, really? How unreasonable.
Well, there's the first problem.
Look at him. He's at the ready. He's got his hands on the pistol grip and everything.
Yeah. He's approaching law enforcement already.
I've got my gun behind me, and you guys are over here with your hands on your rifles like I'm a threat.
Yeah, because look like.
I am not talking to you until these guys stop at the ready.
No, you're talking to us now.
I'm not talking to you.
Yeah, you are.
Until these two guys right here, until you guys. No, I want your hand off the rifle before I get comfortable.
I want you to shut up.
Then you can't talk to me. See you later.
No, whatever.
I can be wherever the hell I want.
All right, I've had enough of these
this
idiots.
You and I are approaching this situation, I think, from two different perspectives. One, I'm going to approach it from the libertarian perspective. Two, I already know you're coming at it from the law enforcement or retired law enforcement perspective.
Correct.
So,
from a reasonable perspective.
So, right off the bat, I'm going to offer a quick disclaimer. So my attorney, some of the best advice he ever gave me was the side of the road is...
Stop hanging out in front of schools?
Stop. So, you know, when you are confronted by law enforcement, the side of the road is not the place to resolve an argument with law enforcement. Once law enforcement makes contact with you...
It's never the place.
Well, so once law enforcement makes contact, it instantly becomes... OPR or an internal investigation or a courtroom. That's where you're going to resolve your disagreement with law enforcement. So with that disclaimer, though, here's where I'm going to say, so this guy was totally out of line based on the way he was encountering law enforcement. But I'm going to argue that law enforcement was out of line. So the guy in Texas is not breaking any laws. Long gun open carry is completely legal in Texas.
But you don't know that.
But I do know that.
How?
In the state of Texas, long gun open carry is legal.
How do you know he's not an ex-felon?
But that, okay, so check, well, wait. Okay? Wait. I'm gonna have Sean turn off your mic. Okay, so he's got the gun slung over his back, right? So it's not in a, you know, if he had it slung across the front on a one point with the bolt forward and the magazine in, I could understand that you're in a threatening posture. The guy's got the AR slung across his back. Not pointing it at officers. He's not breaking any laws. So there's no reasonable suspicion or probable cause to initiate a stop.
All right. Let me come at you.
What he's doing is legal. He cannot be stopped.
I'm not arguing that what he's doing is legal.
Okay.
Yes, what he's doing is legal. What he's also doing is asinine.
Well, like,
here's the thing.
I agree with you. It's not the smartest
courts,
thing.
Listen, the courts have already said it is a reasonable response for law enforcement to stop
actually,
and talk to people open carrying a rifle, especially
actually, the
in
courts,
today's.
The court,
and you know who you can blame for this? You know who you can blame for this violation?
Yeah.
You can blame every one of these knuckleheads that's walked into a theater and shot 70 people.
Oh, I agree
you
with you on that.
You can blame every one of these people that walked into the Washington Naval Yard. You can blame the Sandy Hook shooter. Where do I stop?
Well,
that's
but,
who you can blame.
Well,
this
no,
is
but,
a, wait a, no, this is an absolutely reasonable
Sean,
response.
Sean, turn off his mic.
No.
Turn off his mic. No, but you look, the courts haven't decided because you look at over here on the West Coast, the Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that open carry is not probable cause or justification for a Terry stop. Now, you go over to in Michigan where their Circuit Court of Appeals, I'm trying to think if it's Third Circuit, has agreed that it is. So there's a disagreement, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there isn't a clear legal consensus whether open carry is justification for a stop.
They and have in Texas.
I don't agree. I don't think it is.
You don't think the Texas Supreme Court said that it's a reasonable response on the part of law enforcement?
No, check it out. If I am not breaking, how would you like it if you're driving the speed limit?
Oh, my young Padawan, you have so much to learn.
No, I don't. If you're driving the speed limit and you get pulled over because they think you might be a convicted felon,
what? No, they don't think you might be a convicted felon. They have a duty to investigate. Listen, especially given all of the incidents that I've outlined here, it is an absolutely reasonable response, and I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of disagreement on that. Who was acting unreasonably in this video?
Well, obviously his tone. But the problem is that they initiated the stop for something that wasn't illegal behavior.
Okay, on that, I grant you that. Yes, what they're doing is legal. However, look, if I'm walking down the street with a sidearm on my hip in the state of Nevada, perfectly legal, right? If I'm walking down the street with an AR-15 slung over my shoulder in public, legal. Is it reasonable, though? I mean, yes, you can, but so what?
Well, but where does that stop, though, eventually? Like, when you and I are coming back from the range or coming back from a class and we stop into Starbucks or we stop, you know, somewhere to get a drink and I've got one of my handguns on my hip, how long before that becomes reasonable to stop you and I and identify ourselves? And so then
would you walk into a Starbucks with an AR?
Personally, I wouldn't because I don't like the negative attention that it brings.
There you go.
Well, no, but
these guys, these four idiots, all right, these four village idiots.
Well, you and I don't disagree that they're idiots.
Right. Their entire motivation was a confrontation.
Absolutely.
Okay, when you have somebody that is that confrontational
and that's filming it when it starts
with a deadly weapon, all right, it's a reasonable response on the part of the police.
No.
It absolutely is.
I don't think so. Then if it needs to be something where it's always a stop and identify, then why we might as well make it illegal to open carry a rifle.
It's not going to happen. So in the meantime, they're going to stop people. And I agree with them.
No.
And listen,
I don't.
If you have nothing to fear, all right?
Then you are so quick to give up. If we have nothing to fear, then I should just
no,
be.
If I'm talking about the guy with the rifle. If you've got nothing to hide, why is that a reasonable response? Why?
Well,
why are they reacting that way?
Well, so when the Nevada Highway.
Because I'll tell you what, because they're media whores.
When the Nevada Highway Patrolman sees my firearm, should I have just given it up willingly?
Negative.
Because
you and I are both on the same page with that stop.
Well,
she had no business taking your gun from you.
And I
hope she hangs from the yardarm for it.
She thought it was completely reasonable that she took my gun. I had nothing to hide. Should I have just given it up?
Absolutely not. No, you should you should have stood your ground and said, no, I'm not giving
you my firearm. And I did.
But how did she get it?
Eventually, I wasn't going to physically resist her because physically resisting a cop isn't going to get me anywhere.
I don't think she was going to put hands on it because I don't think she's got the guts.
Well,
I'll come right out and say that right now.
Probably.
I think she was a scared little girl, and she was never going to take that gun from you.
Wow.
She was using the presence of her – I mean, I know we're getting off topic. She was using the presence of her badge and uniform to intimidate you.
But it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
These three guys have no – I don't care if it's – yes, you have a right to open carry in the state of Texas. I get that.
Yeah.
Okay? And I would never infringe on that right. However –
but I think you are advocating infringing when you're saying that cops can stop an open carrier or an open carrier with a rifle.
So the cops do nothing. They get the call. What's their option then? They don't respond? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to go on that. I'm not gonna make a good faith effort to do my duty and assure that I'm doing everything I can to keep the public protected and safe and secure. Everybody and their brother is calling 911 going, holy crap, there's three guys outside the shopping mall with ARs after we just had four Marines and a sailor killed in Chattanooga.
So are all three of them have their rifles slung across their back?
I didn't see the – there's one guy that's off camera, so I couldn't tell you.
So obviously we're armchair quarterbacking this without all of the facts.
We're gonna go with you and I. We're going to agree to disagree on this.
All right.
We're still friends, right? Because you know I love you.
I know.
All right.
Maybe you can buy me a burrito after the show.
We'll see. I don't love you that much. All right. We're going to break, and we'll be back right after this with more exciting stuff. Gay News 107.3, Arm Nevada Radio. All right, we're back, and you know, just like just when you think that you've gotten away, they pull you back in. We're not quite done with this.
No,
topic.
Okay. So I was in the middle of what? So obviously, we just like every other officer involved video, we only see part of it, right?
Right.
And so, all right. So I'm going to say, let's assume that all three of these guys have their rifles slung across their back, and maybe I'm going to go so far as to say, let's say the bolts are open, right? Magazines are out of the weapons.
Okay. All right. So, sake of argument, let's say that.
Okay. So, if I was responding to that, if I was the law enforcement, the responding officer, and I drove by and I saw that, I would not stop those guys. To me, there is no threat with a bolt open, the gun slung across their back. They're doing everything. They're on the sidewalk legally, not obstructing traffic, not harassing passerbys. Maybe I pull over to the opposite parking lot and I observe them for a little while, but. The challenge is, if that's the way it's going, I don't think that's justification for...
What if you're dispatched to that call?
Well, so what does dispatch tell me?
Dispatch receives a 911 call, three subjects outside the mall with AR-15s and an AK-47 walking back and forth.
Well, so incomplete information like that's going to make me feel like I'm going to an active shooter call. Isn't that the assumption? You roll heavy?
No, you can't assume. You are going to go with another unit. I'll tell you what, everyone and their brother's probably going to go to that.
Well, that's true.
Because they all want to get in on it. Here's the thing. Parking across the street and observing, you're well within long gun distance, which makes you a target.
Okay, if the gun is across their back with the bolts open and a magazine out.
But you're not going to know that.
That's not.
Yeah, but you're not going to know that until you walk up on them and see it. You're not going to see that from across the street. You're not going to see it from down the street. Here's the correct law enforcement response. I'm not saying these officers were incorrect, but listening to them, their response was restrained and reasonable. They were not overly aggressive. They were not yelling and screaming.
Oh, I think based on what we've seen officers do lately on video, these guys were extremely restrained based on the way they were being talked to.
Exactly. My response would have been this. If I got dispatched, they would have sent me a cover unit for sure, possibly two cover units, unless somebody else answered up and goes, hey, you know what? I'm going to go on that as well. I'm close. Because the closest units are going.
Yeah.
You stand off. Everybody carries a pair of binoculars in their car. At least if you're a decent beat cop, you do. You stand off, you go down the street, you park around the corner, or you park the next block over, and you walk up on foot. Because if these guys do have hostile intent, you're not going to know it.
Yeah.
You watch them, and you see what they're doing. Okay? You don't just go driving right on up on them like the sheriff of Carson City, one patrol captain and an ancient patrolman did during the IHOP shooting. They're damn lucky they didn't get shot and killed when they rolled right up on that scene. So you stand off. And you wait, and you watch. You make time your friend.
Well, and
then you make a reasoned response.
But I don't think that's what these guys did. These cops.
Listen, you can ask as a police officer. I'm telling you right now, you can ask anybody to stop and talk to you. You can ask them, "Hey, talk to me for a minute." No, they walk away unless you've got something that you can call reasonable suspicion. Then you can't go after them. Oh, hey, no, wait a minute. No, because then you're detaining them.
Well, and so you have
to have at the very least reasonable suspicion.
So my argument is here they're being detained or they're going to be detained for something that is not a criminal action. Carrying a long gun in public is not
but a... You watch. The courts are starting to lean towards, especially given all the active shooters we've had, they're leaning towards it's a reasoned response for the police to stop and talk to you. It is not reasoned for you to act like a jackass when you've got a long gun across your back, right, that fires rounds are going to cut through that officer's body armor like a hot knife through butter. It is an absolutely reasoned response. Yes, I'm not debating that you don't have a right to carry that firearm.
I'm not
debating that at all.
Check it out. You and I have a disagreement, maybe for the first time in the show. So we're going to post this video, and or maybe
it's already up.
Okay, so the video is already up on our Facebook.
Right.
I really want our listeners, if you're listening to this argument and you have an opinion, go to Facebook and post how you guys feel about it. Do you agree with me that as long as these guys are handling themselves in a non-threatening manner and they're not doing anything illegal, I don't think there's any reason for the cops to stop them.
Or do you agree with me? Gary Underhill, Armed Nevada Radio. Seriously, go to our Facebook page. We want to hear from you. Listen, weigh in on this. What do you think about it? All right? Stand up. Make your voice heard. You know, who's right here? I mean, and I respect Ben's opinion. Listen, I got to tell you something real quick. Stop and Frisk in New York before they canceled it deterred a lot of criminal activity.
But Stop and Frisk, I don't believe, according to the way I view it, I don't think is a constitutional action. When you're stopping people randomly based on the way they look, if they're not doing anything illegal and then you're shaking them down,
it's not specifically based on the way they look. It's the way they look coupled with their actions, their body language, the area that they're in. When you're walking around in a high crime area,
so because I shuffle my feet, I might be carrying a gun, and you can go ahead and frisk me in New York.
It's a whole lot of issues. There's a lot of things you look for. Listen, you want to talk about profiling? You know why what's the name of the airport in Israel? Ben Sharon Airport, whatever it is.
Yep.
You know why they've never had a terrorist attack at the Israeli airport?
Because they profile.
Because they profile. Because it works.
But you and I come at this differently.
For anybody listening to Ben and I talk about profiling, don't even come at me with the race card on this one. Because profiling works. It's not about race. It's about criminal activity.
The hard thing right now is I am so resistant to giving the state any more authority and giving law enforcement
the
Fourth Amendment, the Second Amendment, and the First Amendment feel like they're being eroded every time we turn around.
The hard thing right now is that space between your ears.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the hard thing.
Can we take a commercial break yet?
Not yet. No, we got time to talk about this, baby. We got time to talk about this. Hey, listen, you're not going to deter me from the fact that it's a reasoned response for law enforcement to talk to these guys.
I don't think
so. And listen, you know what? All right, let me ask you this. You have two daughters, right?
Yeah.
They go to elementary school, correct?
Yep.
Okay. You got a guy with a long gun walking back and forth outside your daughter's elementary school. Do you want the police to stop them?
But see, that one... No, listen. Because that's not... We're not talking an apples-to-apples comparison, because when they're within... when they're inside a school zone, then you have the possibility that a real... Because the 1,000-foot rule, the federal law about guns being within 1,000 feet of a school, I don't personally agree with it, but if you've got a guy within 1,000 feet of a school with a long gun, there is a real possibility that there's a crime being broken.
Yeah, it's a federal law, though, and you're not going to enforce that.
Doesn't that become the reasonable suspicion or probable cause for that stop?
So is it a reasoned response, yes or no, for the police to stop anybody walking outside of school?
But see, the mall is different. There's no 1,000-foot rule. There's no law there.
Law schmaw. Lives are lives. How is it any different?
It's different.
Oh my God, there's not an answer. How is it different when you've got somebody walking? Are malls a target of active shooters? Have they been in the past?
They have been in the past, yeah.
Clackamas Town Mall, Portland, Oregon. I rest my case. All right. How many other malls?
I'm not disagreeing with you on that. Okay?
When you have malls that are being targeted, that are on terror hit lists, the Mall of America at the top of the terror hit list right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my God. The mall in Kenya?
No,
we've all seen those videos. Are malls not prime targets for active shooters?
They are, but the problem is these guys were on a public sidewalk, not within a federal
protected zone. They're on a public sidewalk. If you watch a video, within striking distance of a mall.
Why are you so quick to give up your Fourth Amendment and First Amendment
rights? I'm not giving those rights
why
up.
Why are you
I'm
so quick to take it away from these guys?
I'm not taking away their rights. Stopping them and talking to them is not... Listen, they don't want to talk to the cops. Walk away.
Well, that's what these guys should have done.
Well, but they didn't, and that's their fault. Okay? But as soon as they started acting like jackasses, all right, the cops' red flags went up, and they got a major case of the red and blue ass.
Yeah.
And hey, let me talk to you for a second, to, now I think we're going to detain you. Yes, you're detained. They have a reasonable expectation of acting this way in the public's greater interest. The public's greater interest for here, I'm not saying it trumps their rights because it doesn't. All right, your rights are your rights. But for God's sake, act responsibly. All right, when you start acting this way, it's going to raise a lot of red flags behind that badge. And no cop in this country is going to walk away from that stop. I guarantee it. There isn't a single cop that's going to go, oh, you know what? They're acting unreasonably. I really don't want. I think I'll just get my car and drive away.
But I keep coming back to, why are we so willing to allow ourselves to be stopped, taken away from what we're doing during our day, and I should just give up my ID and allow them to run it whenever I want because it makes them feel better?
Doesn't make them feel better. They're doing their job. They're doing what they raised their right hand to do and swore to do in the best interest of the general public.
Part of the reason this country was founded was the fact that we were tired of the British stopping us wherever we were going and asking for papers.
This is hardly a case like that. Listen, if we have responsibility as citizens to act responsibly and to be, if nothing else, to be polite and reasoned in our day-to-day activities.
But if I'm open, and I realize it's different from the video, but if I'm open carrying a handgun and I walk into Walmart, I don't want to be stopped by the cops every time I'm going somewhere because I'm doing something that's legal.
Walking with a handgun is not unreasonable.
All right, I want to do our video when we come back from the break.
If we come back, you may come back in a bag. All right, we're going to be back after this. Armed Nevada Radio, K News 1.
Welcome back to Armed Nevada Radio. This is Gary and Ben. And now that I've taken a little bit of blood pressure medication to bring my blood pressure back down to a normal level.
Friggin' Xanax. What are you talking about? Xanax and a hit of heroin.
I think this video will be a little less controversial, but I think it's still like a good conversation for us. So this was that ABC show we mentioned earlier where it's What Would You Do? And it's kind of like, it's a little bit like Candid Camera. Would you say that baiting people into certain
circumstances. They set up scenarios to get people's response, and the cool thing about it is it's an honest, unscripted response.
Yeah.
The show is brilliant, actually, in the way they do it. I like it.
Well, so to set up this clip that we're going to play, so they're in a San Antonio gun store, and it's a dedicated gun store, and the way this clip is set up is a father is buying his son a .22 rifle for his birthday. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and roll tape.
Thanks. Yeah, and I'm getting my first gun today. So.
Congratulations.
I'm really excited about it.
I would be too.
Every gun that our 7-year-old touches has been disabled.
Got to satisfy
Excuse
the safety
me.
Nazis.
Are you actually going to buy that?
But what'll happen when our disapproving customer...
How old is he? Is he like 5?
...takes aim at our dad?
I understand what you're saying. Okay, but this is my son.
This is really dangerous. I'm sorry, this is just too irresponsible.
I think that's the most responsible thing that father
Good for
can do.
You.
Son right
Patriot
now.
Right there.
That's to teach his son good firearm use, and that's exactly what he's doing.
I
just want to shake your hand.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. I want to shake your hand, and I want to pimp slap the lady behind you.
What's going on right now? Kids get hurt all the time.
They get hurt because they haven't been taught, and that father's teaching his son right now.
Amen.
I disagree with your point 100%.
Time to introduce ourselves.
Good for him.
All right, so let's... So then he comes out and he says, you know, it was all a setup. But I would think that I would see that setup coming from a mile away. Who walks into a gun store and starts, like, you know, confrontationally coming up to customers and questioning what they're doing?
You know what? You'd be surprised.
Really?
Yeah, you'd be surprised. You would think, yeah. I had a confrontation at the water park. Not over guns, obviously, but I had a conversation with a water park.
Wait, you don't carry your gun in your swimsuit?
No. Ava Braun, the pool Nazi, was yelling at me because she almost stomped on my 2-year-old who was sleeping on the grass at my feet, and I said something, and she went off like friggin' cracking. So, yeah, you'd be surprised. People do get confrontational like that.
They got a lot of nerve.
They do. People have some – I'm telling you, people have stones.
Well, and the awesome thing about – so this is like a 20-minute segment, and I want to say they went through 4 or 5 of these customers doing this, and every one of them, a bystander, stepped in and said, you know what? That father is being responsible, and he's being a good gun owner mm-hmm. by showing his kids how to shoot. You know, for me, my kids have been shooting for the last 4 years now. And I feel like especially here in a place like Nevada, where the last estimate I read is that 70% of households have guns in them.
Right.
You know what? And unfortunately, not every one of them is going to be as responsible as you and I with fingerprint safes and, you know, biometric and, you know, keeping their guns locked up. You know, in our house, the rule is it's on your hip or it's in the safe.
Right.
I'm not going to be leaving a gun on the counter or on the table. But I know that as a fact of the way things work, my kids may go into a house where somebody is not that responsible. They may have left it on the counter. And I wanted to make sure they knew exactly what to do. They knew exactly how destructive this device was. So, you know, I took my girls out with watermelons and we shot things up. And I showed, look, this exploded. Look at the destructive force of this. You know, and my kids walked away with a healthy respect for those firearms.
Well, because you've eliminated the curiosity from it.
Absolutely.
That's what I tell people about firearms in the house with kids. You have to weigh safety versus security. And one of the keys on the safety issue is eliminate the curiosity. Teach your children. Train them. Let them go out and shoot. You know, better under your supervision than under somebody else's or no supervision. You know, your children are your responsibility. And if you're going to have guns in the house, take the responsibility to teach them and teach them the right way. And how young is too young?
Well, and that was one of the questions of the show. No, how young is too young?
In the womb. No, I mean, obviously you don't want to do that. You know, my son was – our youngest son at home, Bryson, he's 8. He was 5 or 6 when we took him out. And I let him get up behind my AR and shoot the AR. And you know what? I was with him. I was hands-on. You know, obviously, his little T-Rex arms are too short to kind of reach the rail up front. But you know what? I showed him what it does, and I talked to the kids about the guns. So, I mean, that's the key. Teach your kids. You know, how young is too young? I don't know. As long as they're young enough to communicate with you and understand what you're saying, I think it's an appropriate age.
Well, and I think I would much rather have you or myself teaching our kids firearms rather than letting the PlayStation do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and I think that's, you know, and I don't, if Call of Duty, let's say, causes kids to want to get involved with firearms, great.
Mm-hmm.
It just, because, you know, I've always said the second you are around firearms, you get skin in this game, and then you start advocating for the Second Amendment, self-defense, the shooting sports. So if that's the case, then great. I'm glad the video games are helping us do that, but I really think it's a tragedy or a travesty that the only exposure some of these kids are getting is Call of Duty, because they're basically getting exposed to guns in a vacuum where nothing bad can happen, and they don't understand the significance of it. They don't understand the seriousness of it, and they don't understand how to be safe with it.
Well, there's a lot of naivete with when it comes to firearms. I mean, our babysitter, she's like our daughter. She's one of the family, I mean, completely. But she has never been around firearms, has never been exposed to them. And honest to God, and God bless her, I love her like my own, but she's scared to death of firearms. And she was at the house for dinner the other night, and we were all together. And we just started talking to her about, you know, I started talking about the guns. We brought one out and brought my wife's gun out, brought my gun out, brought the shotgun out, brought the AR out. And A, she was fascinated. Flip side of that coin is, oh, my God, you know, it's going to go off.
Right.
Right. Just completely naive. And I don't mean – naive does not equate to stupid.
No.
Naive comes from a lack of experience and lack of exposure.
Well, but the reason for that is if you look at Hollywood has done us all a huge disservice.
Yeah,
because, well, you've got, you know, oh, if you drop that gun on the floor, it's going to go off. That's what Hollywood has taught us.
Sure.
Oh, or that gun could be sitting on the table and suddenly go off. That's what Hollywood has taught us. And so I don't.
Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis dropping the Mac-10 downstairs on what movie was that?
True Lies.
True Lies, and rolls down the stairs and
so I don't auto runs. I don't blame people for their irrational fear of firearms because they've never been shown any different.
Right. Show them young. You know, teach them young. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not irresponsible. It's not wrong or horrible or cruel. It's none of those things. It's probably the most responsible thing you can do. When did we get away from that? When did we get away from the frontier mentality where you taught your kid how to muzzle load? You taught him how to handle that musket. You taught him how to go out and get food. You know, you taught him how to defend against Indians,
whatever
the case was.
Wouldn't the responsible parents in our audience much rather have themselves or Gary, you teach their kids – about firearms instead of the 8-year-old down the street that says, hey, look what I just found.
Or the TV set. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, so maybe if there's enough interest, let us know on Facebook. Would you like to see Trinity Tactical do a youth day where we do, you know, basic firearm safety? We do what to do if you encounter a firearm, mm-hmm. and then have them actually do a live fire exercise.
Sure.
Because the thing is, with basic instruction, I think most older children are absolutely qualified.
Well, and I'm absolutely willing to do that. And I'll tell you what, I think it's a civic responsibility. You know, I exist to continue to serve the community. This isn't a business for me. This is something I love to do. And I love passing this skill on to other people to be responsible. So, you know, I do. I consider it a civic responsibility. So if this is something somebody wants to put together.
Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd like to do it. Well, and, you know, I don't know if you remember, was it 3 or 4 years ago? We did a youth day with another company,
mm-hmm.
and my kids still talk about that to this
success.
Day. Yeah. They loved it. And actually, we bought a brand new Ruger 10/22 for Mackenzie, and she's like, when are we going to get to do that youth day? I could bring my own rifle now. And I mean, she was pumped.
That was the day that Olivia fell in love with the 410 shotgun.
That's right. That's
she
right.
She loves that friggin' shotgun. I keep telling her, maybe I'll buy you one for you. I'm going to buy her one for her birthday next year.
Well, and I think parents don't understand there's some real opportunity with the shooting sports. You know, that day we were out mm-hmm. there, the UNR head coach of their shooting team was out
sure.
there. And, you know, you should. When he said scholarship, Mackenzie and I both looked at each other and went, bing,
oh, yeah.
That's how we're going to pay for school.
Your ears popped up. Brr.
Absolutely. Well, and so, and then a lot of our high schools have shooting teams.
Yeah.
So
there's the Olympics.
I personally, I think my daughter, Mackenzie, she is, as marksmanship goes, she is amazing. And
well, she's had a good teacher.
Well, I'd like to take some credit for that. But, and then also on the flip side, the selfish reason for getting our youth involved is the more people that we can get familiar with firearms, the greater our base of support is going to be
exactly.
to protect the Second Amendment.
Exactly.
Because you know what? We've got a presidential election coming up. And if some unforsaken or foreseen reason, another Democrat liberal gets elected, the Second Amendment is going to be under assault.
I think their days are numbered. Get ready to say, get used to the term President Trump.
Oh, well, we'll see about that. Maybe that's for next week.
All right. Well, we're going to close it out. It's been a great show. Don't worry. I still love you, Ben. we'll do burritos or something.
All right.
But anyway, we are going to close this out and... we've posted the video on our Facebook page when we're talking about go there. Tell us where you stand on it. Let us know. You know, what are your thoughts on it? We want to hear from you. Maybe we'll hit on this again next week. Ben, take us out of here. Let's close it out.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. And as always, stay armed and watch your six.
Absolutely. Stay safe, everybody. Bye.